Labas and good afternoon and happy Lithuanian Independence Day from Kęstutis Reividas and everyone here at Independent Lithuanian Radio, KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com.
Jauna naivė pažadėjo naši vyja, patikėjo aukštų kalnų, užtekėjo saulės blyksniais, nuvirėjo aukštam kalne, žalia gyra, žalio gyroj, tėvonyje vėjo mūžiant iš amžinybės, neši jauna begalybė.
Well, thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. And again, we opened up with a little Kitava, a folk rock band from northern Lithuania, from Šiauliai specifically, with that powerful voice that the lead vocalist has. And anyway, we have a promotion. We're giving away the CD. This is their second compilation of folk rock music, their own take on Lithuanian traditional music. And for a $100 donation, we will forward you a copy of the CD. We got it directly from the band. My wife and I, Odra and I personally in Šiauliai, saw them in a concert, and we approached them, and they were kind enough to sell us 20 copies. We brought them back here to the United States, and now we're passing them on to you for a minimum donation of $100 to Independent Lithuanian Radio. You'll get a copy of the CD, and again, we'll be featuring outtakes from the album CD in the coming weeks, so you can familiarize them with them. And we want to thank Lance Williams, a loyal listener, who has donated to us and specifically requested a copy of the CD. It's on its way to you, Lance. Thank you again for your support. Now, besides, of course, Lithuanian Independence Day being today, a couple of things are going on in the local community, and we will bring you up to date on that right now. That's tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, there will be a presentation of three short films. They sound really interesting. One is called Žalumose, or In the Green, Living Among the Grasses. It's translated in many ways, but a documentary about three women who, having lived through all sorts of illness and tragedy in their lives, they help the sick now around them with natural remedies and herbs, okay, that are found in the fields and forests of Lithuania. Some people call them witches, others snake oil salesmen, but to others, they are saviors. This film won a special prize at the Ektop Film Festival in Czechoslovakia. It's in English, I mean Lithuanian, with English subtitled, award-winning little film. The next one is called Sūrininkas, or Cheesemaker, and it's a glimpse of the life of a man who seems to not be able to live without his cheese or his wife. He is obsessed with both. And it also won Best Short Film at the AXX Film Festival in Central Europe, and nominated as Best Short Lithuanian Film. And the last one is called Kelionė, A Trip. It's a tragic comedy, sort of a black comedy, about a couple with, well, let's call them questionable values, who take a trip abroad to shop for a wedding. And it was also selected as a best short film project and received awards for directing and acting. Again, that's three short films, all done by Ramunė Raikanauskaitė, filmmaker from Lithuania. Three short films tomorrow at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, corner Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Street. That'll be fun. Now, next weekend at noon, bring your appetite. Noon again, Sunday at St. Casimir's. Make sure you're hungry. And even if you're not hungry, you're going to want to eat all the dumplings, all the kuldunai that you can possibly eat. Because, yes, it's the annual Lithuanian Children's Hope, Vaikų Vilties Kuldunų Pietus. And what that means is it is a dumpling luncheon brought to you by that wonderful charitable organization which helps Lithuanian children treat medical conditions that are often difficult and expensive to treat. Now, rather than fly them out here, which is what they used to do, now they've gotten more bang for the buck, and the money goes to build hospital wings, buy equipment, and do the treatment and the care right in Lithuania, where they can be near their family and loved ones. And it's working out wonderfully, and certainly there's truly more bang for the buck, as I say. The lunch to support this organization will cost you $40, and it's all the dumplings you can eat. They're all homemade, and children under 12 are $10. There will be wine and other beverages served, and this is a great event. It's a lot of fun, a lot of information, and despite some of the important, serious work that's done, it is a light-hearted atmosphere for the afternoon, and you're going to love it. So I'm going to give you a phone number to call. Call Ingrida at 310-780-0758. That's Ingrida Jodelina. She'll take your reservations. And she's at 310-780-0758. She speaks English and Lithuanian, and she'll get you set up. This is usually a standing room only event, but you want to be there. You really do. So once again, that's next week, the 24th of February, Sunday at noon, St. Casimir's Parish Hall. Call Ingrida Jodelina to make your reservations for the annual Lithuanian Children's Hope, Lietuvos Vaikų Vilties, Dumpling Luncheon, Kuldūnų Pietus, 310-780-0758. Now, this next announcement is very important for you to put on your calendars if you want to take care of any kind of diplomatic business, anything to do with your passports, anything to do with Lithuania and the United States on a diplomatic level. The consular office from the Lithuanian Consulate General in New York will be in Los Angeles between the 20th and the 23rd of March, okay? That's a month from now, the 20th through the 23rd of March, 2013. They'll be up in San Francisco on the 20th, and then they're going to be in Los Angeles the 22nd and 23rd. Again, they're going to be in California for 3 days, serving the San Francisco area, and then coming down here to Southern California the 22nd and the 23rd, Friday and Saturday. Friday and Saturday, 22nd, 23rd. The consular office will take applications, process paperwork at 2802 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, 90404. Okay? That's in Santa Monica Boulevard, 28 blocks from the beach. Okay? Easy to find. 2804 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90404. Again, Friday and Saturday, the 22nd and 23rd of March at 2804 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, 90404. Now, during this mission, it will be possible to submit applications for Lithuanian citizenship, passports, search for vital records, and receive other consular services. Now, you need to register. You should make an appointment, okay? They don't need 20 people showing up at the same time, okay? There's simply no room as a practical matter to put people at their at the desk. So you need to register at the Consulate General in Lithuania by email or by phone. Email is ny@urm.lt. That's ny@urm.lt. NY for New York at urm.lt. Or best, phone. Write it down. Give them a call. Get registered if you want to talk to anyone in this diplomatic mission that we'll be visiting. 212-354-7840. Okay, phone number is 212-354-7840. That's 212-354-7840. And make your appointment to see the Consulate General of Lithuania here in Santa Monica, the 22nd and 23rd of March. And finally, going out into April, okay, going out into April, the Birutietes, wonderful charitable organization, will have their spring luncheon. It's a lot of fun, and they'll tell you about all the wonderful work they do for helping those who need help in Lithuania and here. And that is on April 14th at noon, April 14th at noon. Take a break from doing your income taxes and come see the Pirutietes. Have some lunch. Enjoy the live entertainment and find out what's going on. Call Oana Katiliene for more information. Make reservations. Okay? 323-650-2263. That's 323-650-2263. Balanjo Keturuolikta, April 14th, noon, St. Casimir's Parish Hall, the Birutietes Springtime Luncheon, reservations at 323-650-2263. We'll be right back. Once again, a little folk rock from Kitova that we will be promoting over the next couple of weeks so that you can get your copy of that CD, too, with a donation of $100 to Independent Lithuanian Radio. And speaking of independence, yes, that's what it is today. Today is the equivalent of the Lithuanian 4th of July. The Act of Independence of Lithuania was signed back on February 16th, 1918, yep, 1918, the Nepriklausomybės Aktas was signed by the Council of Lithuania proclaiming the restoration of an independent state of Lithuania governed by democratic principles, with Vilnius being the capital. Now, this act was signed by all 20 representatives chaired by Jonas Basanavičius. Now, you realize this was Tsarist Russian days, and Lithuania, since the union with Poland, had not formally existed. Okay? As a matter of fact, some would argue that the union with Poland sort of swallowed up Lithuania at the time. But be that as it may, okay? So that's why they call it a restoration, again, of the independent state under democratic principles. Now, this was a result of a series of resolutions, including one passed by the Vilnius Conference and the Act of January 8th. The path to the Act was long and complex because the German Empire exerted pressure on the Council to form an alliance. The Council had to carefully maneuver between the Germans, whose troops were present in Lithuania, and the demands of the Lithuanian people. So I just told you a minute ago about Tsarist Russia. You know, Tsarist Russia had controlled the area until the very recent past, and here it was, World War I time, and the Germans had occupied Lithuania. The immediate effects of the announcement were limited. Okay, it's very simple. The Germans were in control. Publication of the act was prohibited, of course, by the German authorities, and the text was distributed and printed illegally. The work of the council was hindered, and Germans remained in control, and it didn't change, really, until the fall of 1918. So as a practical matter, Germany lost the war, World War I, in the fall of 1918. And there were skirmishes throughout Lithuania with little German cells and Lithuanian patriotic cells, and local Lithuanians, ethnic Lithuanians, who were pro-German and didn't like the idea of an independent Lithuania. So anyway, those things happened, and Lithuania finally got control of the country and the government by November of 1918, when the first cabinet was formed and the Council of Lithuania formally gained control over the territory of Lithuania. While the Act's original document has been lost, unfortunately, its legacy continues. The Act is the legal basis for the existence of modern Lithuania, both during the interwar period and since 1990. The Act formulated the basic constitutional principles that were and are still followed by the constitutions of Lithuania. The Act itself was a key element in the foundation of Lithuania's reestablishment of independence in 1990. So you'll remember in on Kovo Vienuolikta, which is March 11th, 1990, okay, what, 23 years ago now, just about 23 years ago, Lithuania reestablished, again, its independence based on this reestablishment of independence on 1918. Lithuania stressed back in 1990 that it was simply reestablishing the independent state that existed between the two world wars, and that the act had never lost its legal power. So, again, Lithuania was saying that it always was independent. The fact that it was occupied by the Soviet Union didn't negate the fact that Lithuania had a constitution and was an independent country. So, and again, this causes confusion, especially, you know, if you're younger and you don't know the background history, and for second and third generation Americans of Lithuanian descent. Okay, Lithuania declares its independence February 16th, 1918, is occupied by the Soviet Union. Okay, and sovereignty is taken away from the Lithuanian government, and the Sąjūdis movement in the late 1980s culminated in 1990 with the restoration of independence on March 11th. Now remember, the Soviet Union does not collapse. The Soviet Union does not collapse till the fall of the following year, till 1991. So Lithuania has declared its independence in 1990. Iceland, of all people, recognizes this, by the way, back then. And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But, you know, formally, the Soviets do not relinquish control till the coup in Moscow in the fall of 1991, where Yeltsin gets up on the tank and ultimately recognizes the independence of Lithuania. So Lithuania winds up being the first country of the Soviet Union to declare independence sort of pretty much a year before everybody else, and was a quite a bold act back in 1918 also. Okay, so to go back to the early history, we talked about the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. That's 1795, okay? That's a little bit after the Revolutionary War in the United States. The Polish Commonwealth is partitioned, and Lithuania is annexed by the Russians. So Tsarist Russia controls Lithuania basically from 1800 to 1900. Till World War I, when they're fighting with the Germans, and Lithuania finally declares its independence in 1918. After the Russian Revolution in 1917, Germany conceived the geopolitical strategy called Mittel Europa, like Middle Europe, okay? A regional network of puppet states to it that would serve as a buffer zone between Germany and Russia. The Germans agreed to allow the Vilnius Conference, which led to independence, okay, to happen, hoping that it would proclaim that Lithuania wanted to attach itself to Germany. But the strategy backfired. That conference, which was held September 18th, the year before, 1918, lasted about a week, adopted a resolution that an independent Lithuania should be established, and that a closer relationship with Germany would be conditional on Germany's recognition of Lithuania as a new and independent state. Ultimately, the German authorities did not allow another resolution to be published, but they permitted the council to proceed. Again, they were seeking cooperation, but, you know, give Lithuanians an inch, they'll take a yard, they'll take a meter. Because that's what happened. That's what happened with Perestroika, remember, and Glasnost in the 1980s. You gave the people of Lithuania the opportunity to speak out for the first time, to sing national anthems, to gather in public, to talk about them being Lithuanians, and what happened. They wound up being the first country to tell the Soviet Union to go stick it, proverbially. So there you go. Anyway, I'm jumping around here between the two. They are sometimes interchangeable and confusing to people who have not studied the issue more deeply. But that's why I keep bringing it up, so you can separate the two and think about them at the same time, okay? Now, peace talks started at the end of the war, so let's go back to 1918. Now, peace talks were breaking out between Germany and Russia, and German authorities asked Lithuanians at that point to prepare two notifications of independence, one for Russia, in which Lithuania's ties with Russia would be denounced, and nothing would be mentioned about an alliance with Germany, which, as I said, that's what they wanted. And a version to be released in Germany would essentially repeat the act of December 11th, okay, which is the old wording that, you know, they would be friendly. The council decided to amend the first part of the act of December 11th. Petras Klimas included a sentence calling for the Constituent Assembly. Another important development was a statement that democratic principles would be the basis of the new state's governance, something that was declared by the Vilnius Conference but omitted in the Act of 1211. The second part, mentioning, quote, the firm and permanent alliance with Germany, was completely omitted then. The final version was approved on January 8th, 1918. Okay, January 8th, 1918, which happened to be the day that U.S. President Woodrow Wilson announced his 14 points. In essence, the act of January 8th did not differ from the final act of independence of February 16th, which is what we are commemorating today. However, the German military administration rejected the changes. On the 26th of January, in compliance with earlier requests, the two versions of the notification were approved, but they did not include the changes of January 8th. The texts were prepared based on the Acts of 1211. These concessions to the Germans created tensions amongst the members of the council. Four members, and Lithuanian history buffs will recognize these names, Mykolas Biržiška, Stepanas Kairys, Stanislav Narutovits, and Jonas Vileišis resigned from the council in protest. The chairman, Antanas Smetona, okay, who would later be president, stepped down. Jonas Basanavičius, who would later be called the patriarch or father of independence, was elected as the chairman. Now, you'll recognize, by the way, Basanavičius as the gentleman on the back of lots of Lithuanian coins from that period. Now, even though these four gentlemen that we talked about, Biržiška, Kairys, Narovits, and Vileišis resigned, they were still active, okay? They still consulted, if you would have it put that way. Heated debates took place, and on February 15th, the new revision of the act was ready, and the council, including the withdrawn members, was invited to return on February 16th, 1918, and at 12:30 that afternoon, all 20 members met in the room of the Lithuanian Committee for the Support of War Victims at 30 DeJoya Street in Vilnius. That's 30 DeJoya Street in Vilnius. And now, if you walk up DeJoya, and anybody who's been in Old Town has done it, okay, that is Pilies Street, and it turns into DeJoya. Pilies goes from the cathedral up the hill a little bit towards Aušros Vartai, towards the Gates of Dawn. And about halfway up, before it gets wide, before it really widens out and goes into the big square by Rotuša, the Rotuša Aikštė, the square, it is the street changes from Pilies to DeJoya, or Big Street, okay? That's what DeJoya means. It means Big Street, and it becomes a very wide boulevard. And there's a big plaque on the building. If you look up above the hotel, I believe the Narutis Hotel is there, but if you look up above the hotel area there, you'll see the plaque and say that this is where the signatory... No, I'm sorry, it's not the Narutis Hotel. It's a little further up. I just mixed it up. So neither here nor there. It's at 30 DeJoya Street. You'll see a plaque on the building that says this is where the gentlemen met and signed the Declaration of Independence. Here's what it said, okay, the original text, and English translation, rather, to be precise about it, said, the Council of Lithuania, in its session of February 16th, 1918, decided unanimously to address the governments of Russia, Germany, and other states with the following declaration. The Council of Lithuania, as the sole representative of the Lithuanian nation, based on the recognized right to national self-determination and on the Vilnius Conference's resolution of September 18th through 23rd, 1917, proclaims the restoration of the independent state of Lithuania, founded on democratic principles, with Vilnius as its capital, and declares the termination of all state ties which formerly bound this state to other nations. The Council of Lithuania also declares that the foundation of the Lithuanian state and its relations with other countries will be finally determined by the Constituent Assembly, to be convoked as soon as possible, elected democratically by all its inhabitants. The Council of Lithuania, by informing the government of, and you would put in there Russia, Germany, United States, to this effect, request the recognition of the independent state of Lithuania. And then all the signatures there, including Basanavičius, Banaitis, Biržiška, Bizauskas, Dovidaitis, Šaulys, Šedna, Smetona, Stulginskis, who was also later to be a president, Petras Klimas, and, you know, I'm just not going to read them all, okay? There's plenty of them here. But that's it. They signed it, and they did it. So a couple of fun facts on this. Two copies of the act were signed, an original and a duplicate. The original was given to Jonas Basanavičius to safeguard and protect. The original was never published or used in any public matters. Its existence was first mentioned in the press only in 1933. The whereabouts of the original remain a mystery. It is not known. The duplicate was used in the day-to-day business and was stored in the president's archives until June 15, 1940, when Lithuania received the ultimatum from the Soviet Union and lost its independence. After that date, the document disappeared. Obviously, someone hid it, we think. Neither the original nor the duplicate has been located. Historians and treasure seekers continue to hunt for it. In 2006, a team of engineers searched the walls of the former house of Petras Vileišis. Two facsimiles of the duplicate were produced, one in 1928 and the other in 1933. The 28 facsimile is a closer reproduction of the act in its original state. There are spelling errors and the background is visually noisy, quote-unquote, while the 33 facsimile shows the act in improved condition. So what happened to these, let's call them founding fathers of Lithuania? Well, most of the signatories remained active in the cultural and political life. Jonas Vileišis served in the parliament and as mayor of Kaunas, which was wound up being the temporary capital. Saliamonas Banaitis was involved in finance, opened banks. Among the signatories were two future presidents, as mentioned, Stulginskis and Smetona. Jonas Basanavičius returned to academics, pursuing his research in Lithuanian culture and folklore. Five signers died before World War II. Three perished during the Nazi occupation. Now, as World War II approached, and it became clear what the Soviets did to their enemies, remember that Lithuania, being in that part of the world, was very much aware that right there inside of Russian Soviet territory, they'd been deporting people to Siberia and shooting them in the back of the head ever since the revolution of 1917. So these people began to get nervous, and some began to flee to the West. Those that did not successfully get out became political prisoners after Lithuania was occupied by the Soviet Union. And that is the tragedy of all this. Their names were on the document. They signed a document out of patriotism and love of their country for independence. Algirdas Stulginskis and Petras Klimas were sent to prison in Siberia by Soviet authorities. They did manage, however, to live long enough to return to Lithuania after Stalin died. Pranas Dovidaitis and Vladas Mironas were also sent to Siberia and died there. Kazys Bizauskas disappeared in the summer of 1941 while being transported to a Soviet prison in Minsk. He is presumed to have been shot with a number of other prisoners on the way. Donatas Malinauskas was deported to further regions of Russia in June of 1941. Several of the signatories went into exile, including Jurgis Šaulys and Kazimieras Steponas Šaulys, who died in Switzerland. Antanas Smetona, Mykolas Biržiška, and Steponas Kairys wound up in the United States and are buried here. Soviet communists continued to smear the surviving signatories, and some even implicate them in the death of Antanas Smetona in the United States. Yep, March 3rd, couple weeks from now, the first Sunday in March, will be Kaziuko Mugė, or the Lithuanian Scouts annual fundraiser. Lithuanian scouting will be on display, and there will be games, and there will be lunch, food, sausages served, plenty of baked goods for the whole family, indoors and outdoors at St. Casimir's Parish Hall facilities on the first Sunday in March, as it always is. That's Sunday at noon, following Mass at St. Casimir's Parish facilities. The Scouts are commemorating 95 years of scouting. And in Camp Manteoc in August in Ohio this year, they will have...